Amen. Acts chapter number 12. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. I'm going to read very quickly because I'm going to read a number of verses, so just try to stay with me. Acts chapter number 12. Acts chapter number 12. We're going to start reading at verse number 1. If you're not standing, please stand for the reading of the word. It is customary here at Star City Church. Amen. 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 Acts 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." I'm telling you, the enemy is after us, but he can come all he wants, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Lord will lift up a standard. Someone once said, "The devil's mad, and I'm glad." He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending, the scripture says, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. See, the enemy can have an intent, but his intent does not override the power of God. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Girt thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Peter was a little bit too comfortable in prison. Don't ever get comfortable where you think Jesus has left you. Jesus' Bible says he will never leave you nor forsaken you. The scripture says, "And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth them unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.'" I want to preach here just for a few moments on this simple subject: deliver me from me. Deliver me from me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit that we feel in this house right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for that moment of unity and prayer, praying for one another. God, I pray, Lord, now, because I believe that you're going to give me every word to speak, Lord God. This is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended, and I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. Help me, Lord God, right now. Help us that we will leave out of here better, stronger, wiser than what we walked in here. We will forever give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. You ready to receive the word? Clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. May be seated. What I like about God's vision is that there are no mistakes. There are no blemishes in his vision. from the beginning of creation, everything that God created, as each day went by, he would say repeatedly that it was good. Not once do you read that the Lord looked back at creation saying, maybe I could have done that a little bit better. You and I are part of that creation. The way he made you was perfect. I know as imperfect people, we often look back. We call it hindsight. And we say that hindsight is 20/20 or perfect vision, meaning that our foresight is not perfect. And there are sometimes we wish we could change things and what we can change about our life. But when God Almighty places or allows something to happen or to take place in your life, his expectation for us is not perfection. Rather, his expectation of us is just simply believe. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet they still believe. So God's expectation is for us is to just simply believe. This morning, I mentioned briefly the Bible character Jairus and how he came to Jesus asking that he could come to his house because he had a 12-year-old daughter that was sick and she was about to die. And the story goes that before Jesus can even get to Jairus's house, there came people from his home running telling him that his daughter was dead. Trouble the master no more. It's too late. But the words out of Jesus' mouth were very simple. When he heard the words from the people from Jairus' house, he just simply said, be not afraid, only believe. Belief drives expectation. When you have an elevated belief in Jesus Christ, you have an elevated expectation in Jesus Christ. The Apostle John sheds some light into this in John chapter 1, verse number 5. He says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended there comes from a Greek word, katalepono, which literally means to take eagerly or to seize or to possess it. So what darkness once possessed, it can no longer possess once light steps in. I want you to remember the story when Jesus met the men that were possessed with devils. They were cutting themselves and chains could not bind them. In Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 28 and 29, the Bible speaks of these men of the Gergesenes. They met him too possessed with devils coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by. But verse number 29 says, and behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God, art thou come here to torment us before the time? Because even the devils know that once Jesus steps onto the scene, what they once had possession of, they no longer can possess it. They knew at that very moment when light stepped onto the scene, their time was up. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 17, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. The Apostle Paul told the New Testament church in Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. So I shall possess the gate of my enemies. Let me make that plain. You shall possess the gate of your enemies. You ought to tell the devil his time is up. Do I have any believers in here with elevated faith that are ready to possess their promise? It doesn't matter how dark the situation may be. When light steps in, darkness must back up. John said, light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's why I've come to preach today about deliverance. And now I've come to understand that we need to ask the Lord, deliver me, Lord, from my own expectations. Because your atmosphere is the mood, the influence, the environment you surround yourself in. An atmosphere without expectations will kill your dreams. It destroys the hope that is within you, but an atmosphere of expectation is conducive to supernatural divine intervention in your life. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Sadly, many people today go to church failing to become as little children in their faith, in their expectations. They just go to church to go to church. They have no sense of expectations. There's no desire to see God manifest himself. So they walk out of church exactly the same way they came into church, expecting nothing. They only came because of tradition and or formality, but we're not expecting, they weren't expecting anything to take place. That's why Paul warns Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He tells him, from such you need to turn away. In this day, in this spiritual climate, we cannot afford, you cannot afford to position yourself around people that look the part, act one way at church, but then another way out of church. I don't serve a fake God, so I don't have time for fake people. But I serve a real God that's able to do real things. Jude put it this way: to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Someone say amen. Let me tell this church what we need deliverance from. We need deliverance from our own expectation. We need to be delivered from ourselves. Lord, deliver me from me. Because if we had the right spirit, we would have the right expectation. And if you had the right expectation, your praise would change. If you had the right expectation, your worship would change. If you had the right expectation, pre-service prayer would never be an issue. You would want to come to the house of God, not at 6:30, but at 6 o'clock, saying, I've got to get to that prayer room because my expectation has changed. If your expectation is right, your response would be right. Everything would change with the right spirit and the right expectation. I am reminded of a story of a young man that went to see a palm reader. She began to read his palm, and the palm reader told the young man that you will be poor, you'll be miserable until the age of 41. The young man was a little saddened by the reading of his palm, but then all of a sudden he had a glimpse of hope. Because he began to think and ask the palm reader in that moment, well, at the age of 41, will I suddenly become rich? The palm reader said, no. But by that time you are 41, you will have become so used to being poor that it doesn't make you miserable anymore. Sadly, that's how many people in the body of Christ today are. They've become settled and comfortable with a certain condition that it doesn't bother them anymore. Why? Because they have lost the expectation of something bigger. They are comfortable with coming to church and not seeing anyone healed. Comfortable with coming to church and not seeing anyone delivered. Comfortable with coming to church and not seeing anyone saved, not seeing anyone filled with the Holy Ghost, not seeing anyone baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But my Bible says in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if you don't have an expectation to see these things, they will never manifest. But I believe that I'm preaching to a group of people here at Star City Church, even if I just have a handful of people. I don't need everyone. I hope to have everyone, but if not, I'll take what I can get, that come to church with an expectation that God can move at any time. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. I'm gonna say that one more time. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. So that means if they don't sing my song, that means if I don't like something or someone that someone did to me or someone hurt me or offended me, that is not my expectation. That means when I come to the house of the Lord, if things don't go the way I thought they should go, that's not my expectation. If things don't happen the way I want it to happen, that's not my expectation. My expectation is for God to manifest his glory and his power in me, through me, and around me. I take that a little bit further. Sometimes when I come with the expectation, Lord, do it to me and do it to them too. Because I know you're able to heal me on the right side and heal somebody else on the left side. That's why you ought to get excited when God is moving in your area, because that means he's not too far from you. Don't ever get jealous because somebody else is being healed and you're not being healed quite yet. Don't ever get jealous because somebody else is getting a breakthrough and you still waiting on your breakthrough. Don't get jealous because God is blessing somebody financially and you sitting here wondering when your next paycheck is going to arrive. Just know that if God is moving, you just need to get in the area where God is moving and come with an expectation that if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. Do I have any people in here with the right spirit and right expectation? Because there's a quote that says, if you expect nothing, you will never be disappointed. Understanding that faith has come first before expectation can exist. Expectation is built on faith, but faith doesn't imply expectation is there. Expectations are directly linked with one's attitude. And all of us should know that our attitude determines our altitude. Your atmosphere, or to put it plainly, your surroundings are closely linked to your attitude. You hang around negative people, you become negative. You hang around gossiping people, you become a gossiper. You hang around doubtful people, you become a doubter. You hang around haters, you become a hater. You hang around unbelievers, you become an unbeliever. You hang around people that say, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. That's the way you go look at things in your life. That's just the way you're going to view things. Because that is who you are surrounding yourself with. That has become your atmosphere. I don't know about you, but there's been times when I've come to work, not here at Star City. It's never happened here at Star City. There's times in jobs past where I've come and all of a sudden everybody's in a bad mood. I woke up that day saying, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. But I walk into work, everybody else just like this and got their head down. So then all of a sudden my head start going down. I said, well, maybe this is not the day that the Lord has made. Maybe I'm not going to rejoice and be glad. And you just adopted the mindset of everybody else. You should never allow that to happen to you, especially you and I that are filled with the power and the gift of God. We ought to be the shining light to a dark world. If ain't nobody smiling, you go see me smile. If ain't nobody else happy, you go see me happy. If ain't nobody else joyful, you go see me joyful. Can I make it plain to us church folks? If ain't nobody else clapping, you go see me clap. If ain't nobody else gonna rejoice, you go see me rejoice. If ain't nobody else glad to be in the house of the Lord, I'm gonna be glad. So let's bring it home. Herod has killed James, the brother of John, our opening text. He's seen that it pleased the Jews. So he went after Peter, intending after Easter to take him out as well. So the story continues in Acts chapter number 12, verse number 10, or excuse me, Acts 12 and 12. He says, and when he had considered the thing, now Peter's been let loose. He considered the thing. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. How did he know what house to go to? Think about that. Whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. Thank God for Rhodas in our life. And when she knew Peter's voice, somebody recognize the voice. She knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you're mad. You're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about, Rhoda. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Bible character, sister. But she constantly affirmed that it is him. It's him. He's here. Then said they, it is his angel. You don't know what you're talking about, but Peter kept on knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Now, wait a minute now. Here is Peter knocking. The saints are praying for Peter to be released. And they're praying and the answer is knocking at the door. Peter's knocking, they're praying. The answer's there and they still praying. The answer's knocking and they still praying. The answer's at the door. They got the faith to believe, but they have no expectation of their own faith. Some of you missed that right there. You're praying saying, Lord, do it for me. Oh, can I come down your row right now? Lord, do it for me. Do it for me. You've got the faith to pray, but you have no expectation that it's actually going to happen. And here is the answer knocking at the door, and they don't even believe the answer is even there. So why are you praying? Why are you crying? Why are you weeping? Why are you fasting? I'm not praying just to pray. I'm praying because I believe that my answer is at the door. And somebody in here needs to arise in your faith and deliver yourself from your own expectations and trust in the Lord that what you've been praying for, God's gonna do it. Somebody in here, I don't know if I'm preaching to 5 or 55, but whatever you've been praying for, I'm telling you, it's at the door. And God's getting ready to open up a great door. I hear Jesus knocking. I hear the answer on the way. He's saying, stop praying and open up the door. Stop praying and rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Can we take 30 seconds and magnify the name of Jesus? Yes. I don't know if you like my house. You hear somebody knocking? Well, nobody's moving to get the door, though. Because everybody's waiting on somebody else to go answer the door. Mm-hmm. And if you got kids, you know how it is. Hey, go get the door. You yell at somebody else to go get it. Well, in this situation, what you've been believing God for, there's nobody else that can go get the door. I'm sorry, but Rhoda can't go get this one for you. You got to go get it for yourself. Some of you need to get up off your knees. I'm not saying stop crying out. I'm saying start believing what you've been crying out for. And some of you need to get up off your knees and start worshiping, believing that the answer is at the door. I don't think you heard me. I didn't say the answer is on the way to the door. I said the answer's already at the door. And somebody in here needs to receive that in the Holy Ghost and say, I'm done crying. I'm going to wipe my tears and get ready because the answer is at the door. And I believe that God is getting ready to do a great work. Somebody rejoice in the Lord if you believe that God is on the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like rejoicing in this house. Let's clap our hands one more time. Lift up the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. It's already there. It's knocking at the door. That's what's been waking you up at night. You can't sleep at night. You wondering, you taking sleeping pills. You dropping all kind of stuff in your mouth, trying to get yourself to go to sleep because you're wondering what's keeping you up at night. It's a knocking at the door. God is saying, I'm trying to send you the answer. But you getting up every morning saying, Lord, where's the answer? And God is saying, I was trying to speak to you at 4 a.m., but you didn't want to get up to answer the door. I'm trying to tell somebody, stop taking all those pills and begin to fall on your face and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, work on me. Lord, speak to my heart. I'm trying to help somebody understand the answer is at the door. Woo! Rhoda, you're crazy. Rhoda, it's his angel. Rhoda, that's not him. Rhoda, that can't be him. He's in prison. Then what are you praying for? I'm trying to talk to the church of the living God. What are you praying for? Do you actually believe the words that come out of your mouth? Why don't you believe that God can answer your prayer? What happened in your life to cause you not to stop believing that? Because whatever it is, you got to move on. And you got to get through that. God is a prayer answerer. Well, I wish I had about more than five people that believe that. God is a prayer answerer. And I'm saying that you're waiting on something that God has already provided for you. Oh, my God. My God. The Bible says that when they eventually came to the door, Sister Mendez, I just had to say that, you know. But when they came to the door, they were astonished. It's him. It's really there. Hey, y'all, stop praying. He's here. Hey, stop. You know somebody in the corner. Somebody's still crying. And the answer's standing right here. You know, you can cry yourself to sleep. No, you missed that. You're thinking naturally. I'm talking spiritually. Oh, my God. You know you can cry yourself to sleep spiritually. You can weep so much spiritually that you become numb in the spirit. You can cry so much and worry so much and complain so much and have all these question marks so much that you become numb in your spirit. Now your prayers have become rudimentary words. Your prayers literally have become just words that you're repeating over and over, and Jesus told us not to pray that way. But your prayers have become that because you're just crying yourself to sleep spiritually. You don't really believe anymore. So now you're just doing things out of routine, out of tradition. There's a word I was looking for, out of formality. You're just doing it just because you know it's the right thing to do. But your words that come out of your mouth are words of unbelief. You don't even believe your own words that are coming out of your mouth. You're just talking to God. And the Lord is saying, wait a minute. Stop. Stop it. And I'm trying to tell someone, stop it. Stop what you're doing. And allow yourself to turn your crying into rejoicing. Do you know that praise is a form of prayer? You know that? Praise is a form of prayer. And I believe that we need to spend more time praising in prayer than we do crying in prayer. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure, but it's only for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Notice that the Bible does not put a time stamp on joy, but it puts a time stamp on weeping. And too many of us have it reversed. We put a time stamp on joy and we're allowing our weeping to endure too long. But I'm trying to wake up somebody in here and put a time stamp on weeping and wake up and say, I've got joy, because I've prayed and I've believed God, and now I know my answer is here. I'm done preaching. I'm telling you, there's some more notes I got up there, but I'm in the Holy Ghost right here. You've been crying and crying, and you've cried yourself numb to where the own words that come out of your mouth, you don't believe those words. You don't believe them. And the only way that can reverse the curse that you've put upon your own life is that you turn your weeping into dancing, that you turn your mourning into joy. I don't know if I have those words right, but it goes something like that. You turn those things around, and you allow yourself to wipe those tears. That doesn't mean your problem is over. That just means you're going to dance and praise him in the middle of your storm. I know that my answer has not arrived yet, but I'm telling you, if you will begin to praise him, it's knocking at the door. And some of you need to get up off your knees and say, Lord, I hear you knocking. Lord, I hear you talking. And now it's time to respond. Now it's time to rejoice. I'm not trying to get you to jump off walls tonight, but I'm trying to elevate your mind and your heart and turn your spirit around. Some of you in here have been looking at things the wrong way, but God is saying, get up from where you are and say, Lord, I believe it. Lord, I receive it. God's saying, I'm knocking at the door. So who in here tonight, you've been praying a long time, you've been waiting a long time, you've been on your knees a long time, and now this preacher's trying to get you to understand, it's at the door, it's at the door. I don't know what you've been waiting on, I don't know what answer you need from the Lord, but I'm here to tell you, it's at the door. I didn't say it's on the way, I didn't say it's 10 miles down the road, I didn't say it's coming next year, no, I said it's at the door. You don't have to wait till 2024 for your family to turn around, you don't have to wait till 2024 for marriages to turn around. You don't have to wait till 2024 for your finances to turn around. You don't have to wait till 2024 for your health to turn around. But God is knocking at the door right now. And he's saying, before this year is out, you can have your answer. If anybody believes that and receives it, you ought to magnify the name of the Lord. Come running down to this altar and say, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. That's it, Brother Bollinger. Be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine.